I'll take you at your word. Church, happy Easter. Let me try something real quick. He is risen. Hey, that's pretty good. Is that the best one? That was the best one. All the other services down. 12 o'clock. From now on, church is at noon. Friends, we are here gathered, the people of God. Just look around this place. Is there hope in Jesus or what? The other services were packed out. Just a holy remnant of people who say, Jesus is it for us. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything for us, folks. Everything. Now all things are possible. Now all things are on the table. Darkness may have had its hour, but resurrection life, it bursted forth. Am I right? And now all things are possible because he is alive. The clock is ticking on your shame. The clock is ticking on your fear. Because he is alive, the clock is ticking on your depression, on your anxiety. The clock is ticking on relationships coming apart. The clock is ticking because the reconciler is alive. He is alive and well. And now there's hope. We have hope. And our song now can change a song of desperation into a song of victory, saying, hallelujah, our God is alive. Can someone say amen? All right. Let's join the multitudes around the world singing hallelujah, amen. He reigns, he shall reign forevermore. Every voice, I hear the sound right here. I hear the sound, the roar of the great multitude, they shout glory, glory, hallelujah, falling down. The elders and the people crying out, all to him they sing. Sing to him. Amen. Give him glory. Give him glory. Right at him. God of glory. He shall reign. He reigns. We rise up. Worshippers, we rise up. I hear the bells. The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is now prepared herself. The wedding of the Lamb, he tore through hell for you, for me, to claim the ones he loves and lift the veil. All to him we sing. Come on.
Hallelujah.
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 To the Lamb. That's good, church.
Yeah.
forever reigns, forevermore he reigns, he reigns. You sing that to him. The living God, prepare a way for the Lord by singing, for the risen King is here. He reigns, oh, he reigns. Sing it over the earth. Sing it over the nations and our nation. He reigns. He alone reigns. There's only one person with a crown, and it's Jesus.
Church, can we take 30 seconds here? I want to invite everyone in the room to lift your hands to Jesus. Some of you extroverts are like, yeah. Others of you are like, this isn't me. I don't know if Jesus was an extrovert or introvert, but I know he hung on a tree. I know he gave his life for you and me. And so today, just begin to say, bless the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. Honor and majesty and power to the name of Jesus. Call his name right now. If you don't even know what to say, Jesus, 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 the one who was and is to come, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the glorious one. Jesus Christ, we honor you today. We bless you today. We honor you today. And all God's people said,
amen.
Can we give God thanks for what he's already doing in this house? As we come to give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings, I want to invite you to be a part of the family of God here at New Life. What I love about Easter, there's a lot of things. But one of the things that I love about Easter is we get to see the church that we actually are. At our 8 congregations this weekend, we'll probably hit just over 22,000 people this weekend celebrating Jesus Christ as Lord. That's fantastic. That's fantastic, but we're not like trying to pad our stats or anything. Like, we're not sending those numbers into a magazine. I'm just here to tell you that we're a strong church in Colorado Springs proclaiming Jesus is Lord. And as we give, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I don't have much on my own, and I don't have much on my own, and I don't have much on my own, but together, 22,000 of us can make a dent in Colorado Springs for the glory of God. So I invite you to give your tithes and offerings. There's 3 different ways you can give. You can check all that out there, but let's pray as we give. Lord, here we are. And you have blessed us in various ways. All of us have seen your faithfulness. All of us have seen moments of your dramatic provision. I think most of us ate something this morning, and we're gonna have something. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children out begging for bread. Somehow you have provided for us, and now in this moment we give to you. And we pray that you would take these gifts and that you would make them a blessing in our city. Make them a blessing around the world. Give it to the poor, Lord, the hungry, the needy, the prisoner, the sick, the hospitalized, those who are on the brink. Let these gifts go to be a blessing in this city and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, let's continue to worship as we give.
Melting dark is in His love. Resurrection Sunday, everyone. Hey, before they leave, these guys have been here since 6:30 this morning. It's their third service, and they brought it. Can we honor our choir back there? Choir, you sounded good. When I rolled in here early this morning, they were going strong, and I just thought, you know, we're going to get to 1:15, and we're going to count it a full day. Hey, turn around and greet one another right now. Tell someone they look good, they smell good. Say hi to somebody. All right, good morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. You made it. Hey, I just want to say thank you. I asked you to come to the noon service, and you did it. It's the first time in church history that people listen to their pastor. I so appreciate it. Thank you. 8 a.m. was full. 10 a.m. was standing room only. And so by you coming to noon, it made room for a lot of people at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean that sincerely. I know it's a sacrifice to come later in the day, especially if you have little kiddos. But thank you. I want to remind you that next Sunday is an amazing Sunday at New Life. We're having Baptism Sunday. And I want to just say a couple of things about this. Every salvation story starts the same way, 100%. You start with believing and confessing and repenting, and then something beautiful begins to happen in your life. Do I believe in instantaneous salvation stories? Absolutely. The Bible is full of them. But also, salvation can be a story of you choosing to believe in slow increments, in small ways, and suddenly you look up one day and Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, you're following him as to the best of your ability. And I know that work, it starts in a private way, right? You're having conversations with God, you're praying, you're questioning, you're lingering with the Lord, and something becomes alive in you. There is a moment in your life where you have to go public. What God has done in your life, the miracle that's happened in your life in a private way, there's a moment where you step out into the public and say, hey, Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm not ashamed by it. What he did for me is miraculous. I want to make everyone known that Jesus is King. That's going to happen next Sunday. We have about 250 people that are going to be baptized next Sunday. I mean, Jesus is doing something. That's amazing. And that's at all of our congregations. There are salvation stories breaking out at all 8 congregations, churches all over the city. I'm hearing the same report all over the city. People are hungry for Jesus. Listen, don't believe everything you hear, okay? Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Christ is alive. His story, his gospel is being proclaimed. The good news is being proclaimed, and better yet, it's being believed. People are putting their hope, their trust in Jesus in unbelievable ways around the world. And I'm in touch with leaders around the world. We're seeing revival break out in South America and the global South, in the Caribbean, in India, all across Africa, in Western and Eastern Europe, in Russia, believe it or not, in Afghanistan, Pakistan. We're seeing the kingdom of heaven break in and break out. And that's going to happen next Sunday. So listen, some of you, it is time for you to share your story in a public way. Now listen, going into the waters of baptism, it's not just a ritual. It's not just something you check the box. What happens is the old man goes in, and the Bible says you are buried with him in baptism, and you are raised to new life. The old is gone, and the new has come. So you go to newlifechurch.org. Come next Sunday. Bring your family and your friends. We'll gather around these baptismal tanks. We're going to cheer you on and celebrate all that God's doing in your life. Amen? That's going to be fun, I promise you. All right, turn in your Bible to two places, John chapter 20 and Revelation chapter 20. Now, this is my third time to preach this morning, so I need you to give me some grace. If I just freeze for a second, get a glazed look in my eye, y'all just start shouting me down, okay? I'm doing good. I love Good Friday. Good Friday, Pastor Daniel, if you weren't here, go back and listen to it on our channels, because the message of Pastor Daniel was maybe the best Good Friday service I've ever heard in my life. The best Good Friday message I've ever heard. And he talked about three trees. The tree in the garden where sin came into our human experience. He talked about the tree in Revelation chapter 22, the trees that line the river of life. where the trees are there for the healing of the nations. His explanation of that was gorgeous and beautiful. And of course, the most important tree in the story of the Bible is the tree that Christ was crucified on for all redemption. So the three trees, the tree in the garden, the tree in Revelation 22, and the tree of Calvary. And I loved the story. Today, I'm going to talk about three resurrections that we see in the Bible. Most people can point to one. There are actually three resurrection stories in the scriptures. And I want to show these to you today, and I pray that hope would spring out in you, that you would leave here today that convinced that Christ is alive, that the Spirit is welcoming you, and that you have the power to live a life that is filled with hope and grace. That's my joy. That's my goal today. So turn with me first to John chapter 20. There are three resurrection moments in the scripture, and the first one we find in John chapter 20 in the resurrection of Jesus. I think the challenge sometimes for pastors on Easter Sunday is to try to add to Easter. My goal today is to get out of the way of the story. The story tells itself, and the story is powerful. The story has been wrecking humanity and changing history for 2,000 years. So can I read you the seven verses in John chapter 20? Let us remind ourselves of this resurrection story of Jesus. It says, early on, the first day of the week, of course, the women were up working. You know, here the men were hiding in the upper room, the women were in the garden. And while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. Now, this other disciple, by the way, is John, who's writing about himself. So notice what he says about himself. So the one Jesus loved. Now, I just stop here. We can make fun of that. That's a good pastor joke. But listen, I believe it would change all of our lives if every day we woke up and reminded ourselves, I'm Brady Boyd, the disciple that Jesus loves. Listen, that's actually a positive affirmation. That's something we actually need to get accustomed to saying about ourselves. When I'm good, Jesus loves me. When I have failed him, Jesus loves me. I am a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus loves me. That's what John is saying. So he said that Mary Magdalene says to the disciples, notice that it was a woman who's giving the first accounts of the resurrection. I love how Jesus took the outsiders and made them insiders, how he took the marginalized and made them a part of the central story. And he says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Leave that up for a moment, because she was not yet convinced of his resurrection. She knew he was missing. She knew he was gone, but she didn't fully understand yet that he had been resurrected. So Peter and the other disciple who Jesus loved started for the tomb. Verse 4. Now, I love the brotherly competitiveness here. I have a brother. He's 2 years younger than me. We hit each other, wrestled together, competed against him. I could hit him, but nobody else could. Amen? All the brothers in the room know that, right? When you have a brother, both were running, but the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John wanted you to know that he won the race. Very important. Verse 5. So he bends over and he looks at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. But Simon Peter, who came in second, he came along behind him and went straight into the tomb, the reckless one, the one who had just denied Christ, was not going to be shut out. He runs into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there. Now listen, verse 7 is a critical verse for us in 2024, because it says something about his resurrection that a lot of people miss when they read this passage. He says he saw that the cloth had been wrapped around Jesus' head. You know the story. Jesus died. They prepared his body for burial. They took his body outside to the borrowed tomb, anointed him with oil and spices, and placed him in the tomb. And one of the strips around his head was laying there. Listen to this. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now leave that up for a moment. This is very important for you to catch this today. In Jewish custom, if you were at a person's house and you were having a meal, if you were done eating, like we're going about to go back to our houses and eat ham or whatever you're going to have today, if you're done, you're full, it was okay just to throw your napkin, your linen, to the side, haphazardly, just put it down on the ground, put it to the side, Don't bother with it. That was a sign to your host that you're finished and you don't want any more. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus carefully places the linen next to the tomb for two reasons. He's saying two things to us today. Catch this. I'm not finished, and I'm coming back. Listen, New Life Church, I got good news for you today. Jesus died. He is resurrected. He ascended to his Father on the right hand of the throne. He's not finished, and he is returning. He's coming back. So this is the first of the resurrection stories in the Bible. And listen, Jesus appeared to hundreds of people. My favorite story is when he come to Doubting Thomas, right there in the room. Thomas is like, well, I wish I'd seen him. I wish I'd been there. I don't know. He's doubting, having these. All of a sudden, Jesus walks through a wall. I want to be in that room. I want to see the look on their faces when Jesus just walks through a wall, like the Matrix. Like he's just walking through. He appears. Leo appears. And listen, the evidence of his resurrection has been strenuously tested and accepted by mature people for centuries. My friend, I have a friend, Lee Strobel. Y'all know him. He's a well-known guy. I met him years ago. Such a good guy. Over 40 years ago, he was an investigative reporter for a newspaper in Chicago. Atheist. Didn't believe in God. Didn't believe in the resurrection. Young guy. He said, Brady, we sat over at Cheddar's over here, and he told me this story. He goes, Brady, I was so young. I was convinced it was all a hoax, a scam. It was all fake news. He said, so I spent 2 years looking up all the ancient manuscripts, examining all the texts, talking to people who had studied it all their lives. And I was convinced I'm going to be the investigative reporter that's going to show this is nothing but a hoax. 2 years later, I'm being baptized in my local church. Listen, I'll give you a one-year challenge, okay? I'm not trying to be coy. I'm not trying to be rough with you. I'm just giving you a serious challenge. Take the next year and examine all the text. Do all the research. Study all the historical documents. Talk to all the renowned experts on both sides of the aisle. A year from now, I'll baptize you because I'm telling you, the more you study the life of Jesus, the more you study the accounts of Jesus, the more I'm convinced that Christ was real. God, he was God-man. He lived a sinless life. He died a real death, and he had a very real resurrection. That is the story that we believe. It's a story that holds our whole faith together. Jesus is alive. That's the first resurrection story. There's a second one in Revelation chapter 20. It's the final resurrection of all who have lived. In a few weeks, I'm going to go check on my 78-year-old mother. She lives in deep in the woods, East Texas. I grew up in Logansport, Louisiana, south of Shreveport on the Sabine River. It is very remote. They have sent several Google cars in there to map it. They've never returned. It's the Bermuda Triangle of the Deep South, I promise you. I grew up 7 miles off outside of Logansport on the Marshall Highway. My family cemetery is 2 miles down the road from there. I grew up around that family cemetery. So when I go home in 3 weeks, I'm going to have some fried food. Everything we eat there is comfort food. I didn't realize how uncomfortable I was, that every meal was comfort food when growing up. There'll be gravy, there'll be crawfish, there'll be something fried every meal. But my mom, one afternoon, she's going to say to me, Brady, let's go out to the cemetery. And it's my family cemetery. There's probably 500 graves in this cemetery. Half of them are my family. My dad's buried there. My nephew is buried there. All my grandparents are buried there. All my aunts and uncles who have died are there. Cousins, second cousins, in-laws, outlaws. They're all buried. They're everybody. Everybody that I know is buried there. So my mom will pull up to the Cool Spring Cemetery, the Primitive Baptist Church. That's the name of the church, Primitive Baptist Church. And they didn't get that wrong. And we, that's a real denomination, by the way. So we will park there, we will open those metal gates, and she will take me on a very predictable path all the way through the cemetery, stopping and looking at various gravestones along the way. And she'll stop and she'll say, that's your second cousin. In 1945, he was within a few miles of Berlin trying to liberate Europe from Nazism. He had been wounded twice. He went back into battle. Three or four weeks before Hitler ended his own life, then V-Day happened, a sniper took him out inside Germany. That's him. And she'll say, Brady, he was 21 years old. the same age as your children. And she'll tell me aunts and uncles, people she liked and didn't like, people that have dark stories and good stories, but we'll go on this path and we'll end up always right in front of my dad's headstone, my nephew's headstone, and there are places that if I choose, I'll be buried there as well. Now that sounds morbid, but it's not. It's a remembrance of our heritage. She is telling me about my family story. She is pointing out the saints who are buried there. I think that Revelation 20 talks about what's going to happen on that day in that cemetery with those people who have been buried in Christ. I want you to look at this because this is a resurrection story that is in the future and it should be extremely hopeful. Revelation 20 verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence." You know why that's important? Listen to this. It says the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. The goodness and the bigness of God takes up all the space of the cosmos. Earth and the heavens disappear. There's no room for it. God is that big. God is that grandiose. God is that magnificent that when you stand before him, there is no more room for the rest of the universe. He is all in all. So John is seeing this and he says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, grandmas, aunts, loved ones, babies that passed too soon, people in your neighborhood that you loved growing up that are no longer with us that love Jesus." There will be a day, listen, this should be the most comforting thing I tell you today. There will be a day where you will stand shoulder to shoulder them in a great sea of humanity, looking at a God who knows you, who has redeemed you, who rescued you, and you're going to stand with them all. You will see them again. You've heard pastors say that at funerals. This is what they're talking about. You will see them again. You will stand before God with them. And he says, "And books were opened." Now, when I was a kid, this is where I got really nervous. The stuff I stole, goldfish I killed, bad words I said, the lies I told. And he says, "And then another book was opened," because some of you need two books. And I'm just, he said, "Another book was opened, which is the book of life." Now listen, you can think about this with dread and fear, or you can, this could be the most encouraging day of your life. This could be the most glorious day of your life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Now here's, that could either make you afraid or it can be encouraging. Let me tell you why I'm encouraged. You know who's at that judgment seat? Jesus. And Jesus is going to hear everything I've done. And he's going to say to the Father, "Brady follows me. My grace is sufficient for Brady. My grace is sufficient for him. His grace is sufficient for you. That debt has been paid. And while Brady did all that, you saw it all, you recorded it all. I'm not questioning the accuracy of what is written there, but I am saying that all that's been paid for. Brady has been forgiven, Brady has been redeemed." Listen, that's why that day is going to be the most liberating, joyful day in all of our lives. For those of us who are following Jesus, that day is the final thing. "Enter into your rest. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come now and enter into your rest." And that's why when we say in the creeds, when we confess the creeds, we say Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. That is a future resurrection story that is in all of your future. None of you will escape it. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, he is King. All of us will bow our knee. All of us will confess that. And we'll stand there marveling at his goodness and grace when we do. We won't be forced to take a knee. We will willingly bow a knee to Jesus. And here's the third resurrection, though. Very few people know that there is a third resurrection story in the Bible. We know of John chapter 20. That's a very familiar one. Some of us who have studied the Bible realize there was another one coming in Revelation 20. But Paul, the great apostle, Paul, the brilliant scholar, Paul was the one on his way to torment other Christians when the Holy Spirit came down upon him on the road to Damascus and his life was radically saved. His life was gripped by Jesus. And he forever became a follower of Christ after that. Listen to what he says about a right now resurrection, the resurrection that is happening right now. Colossians chapter 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. New Life Church, that's present language. That is right now language. That's not yesterday. That's not 100 years in the future. He's saying right now, on Sunday afternoon, Easter Sunday of 2024, there is resurrection power right now to regenerate you, to disciple you, to heal you, to restore you. There is resurrection power all around you if you want it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Listen to this. Set your heart on things above where Christ is. He's reminding you that Jesus is alive. Not a dead idol, not a dead teacher, not a dead hero. He's a living God. Christ is alive. And he says he's seated at the right hand of God. So set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Now, leave that up for a moment, because he's not saying be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying let your primary energy, your primary attention, your focus, your worship, your adoration, your love, your first love, let it be on the one that matters. So give your best strength today to Jesus first. Give your best worship, not to some worthless idol on the planet, but to Christ who is at the throne, Christ who is seated above you. He says, listen to this, verse 3, for you died and your life right now is hidden with Christ in God. I got to tell you a story. I know, I don't think you realize how fragile we are as pastors sometimes. We live in a real tortured world every once in a while, and there's nothing worse for pastors than Saturday nights. We have not done anything fun at my house in 30 years on Saturday night. I'm a party pooper. I'm not a good human. I go to bed early. Abram and Callie and Pam, they have the time of their lives on Saturday night. You know why Saturday nights are important? Because my heart is here on Sunday morning. And I'm bringing my best here on Sunday, so Saturday night, in order to do that, I have to go to sleep. Now, I know all you 20-somethings, y'all can get 2 hours sleep and build a space shuttle the next day, but I can't. Come on, all the 50, 60, 70-year-olds, say amen with me, right? If you don't get sleep, it's just not going to work the next day. You know, if you're under 20, I'm sure you're up to 3 a.m. playing Fortnite, and you jumped out of bed full of, I can't do that. So my whole day yesterday, from the time I woke up till 9 p.m. last night, was with the idea I have to go to bed early. I got to get up early on Easter morning. I'm going to preach 3 times, not 2. I need energy. I need strength. And that is conditional on my sleep. So everything was going as planned. I cut out caffeine. I turned off the basketball games because I was getting adrenaline. I was getting all jacked up out of the game. So I just turned that off. And I watched some black and white war movie that I knew the end of. I'd seen it like 6 times. I knew how the movie was going to end. We win, right? So I knew that. So it settled my soul a little bit, all right? Everything's going perfect yesterday. 9 p.m., I am tucked in like a bug in a rug, right? I am tucked in. And the alarm goes off. Now, ADT has perfected this sound. And it's designed to cause maximum response from a human being. You're dying. Your house is on fire. Get out. That's what you're hearing. I am tucked in. I have made myself ready for bed. And we just got a new alarm system put in. And apparently we didn't set it right. And one of the cats walked across the living room and set off the motion detector. Pam's upstairs. I said, Pam, did you set that off? No. I said, well, who's in the house? The night before Easter, not today, Satan, you know what I'm saying? I had all these thoughts. You know what happens when you're that alarm? It shoots your body full of adrenaline. The fight or flight. Somebody's in my house. My wife is here. I have to go check every square foot now, check every window, every door. Cats are flying everywhere. They're terrified. This is my life last night. Happened 12 hours ago. So now I'm back in bed, and now my body's just ripped full of adrenaline. I'm not going to bed. Have you ever know that you have to get sleep? It's the worst feeling ever. I'm hearing all the moans. Y'all get this, right? 11 p.m. last night, I'm going, if I go to bed now, I'll get 6 hours sleep. Okay, and then it makes it worse. There's not enough drugs in Colorado Springs to make you go to bed. I mean, it's just not. I can't do it. I can't go to bed. So I know Pam is not asleep. And I said to Pam, I said, Pam, I'm not asleep. Well, of course, neither is she. It's like, I'm not asleep either. I said, I need you to pray for me. So she just put her hand on me and prayed like the really sweet pastoral prayer. You're going to go to sleep. It's not going to be awful tomorrow. It may be bad, but it won't be awful. And prayed over me. You know what happened? I went to the place of the dead. I joined Jesus in the place of the dead last night. I all got really close. I went really to sleep. Why am I saying that? Pastor Ray, that's a real minor thing, losing a night's sleep. Come on, I'm dealing with some serious stuff. That's the point I'm making. It doesn't matter how mundane. It doesn't matter how insignificant it is. There's resurrection power for every part of your life. Whether you're dealing with disease or a prodigal or something awful like a financial catastrophe, doesn't matter. There are moments in your day where you have access to the goodness of God. And sometimes all it takes is for someone that loves you to reach over and say, Brady, you're going to be fine. It'll be okay. Go to sleep. Sleep is coming. See, John 20, and we're Colorado people, so stay with me, okay? John 20 and Revelation 20 are like two great mountain ranges. Okay, the resurrection story that we all know about is John 20. The future resurrection of all humanity is Revelation 20. But Colossians 3 is like the great valley in between them. And that's where we're living. It's the place we live. It's the place we speak. It's the place we breathe. It's the pickup line at school. It's picking up the laundry. It's trying to go to bed at night with a big day ahead of you. It's the everyday living life. And Paul was fascinated. Listen, what I'm about to tell you, Paul spent his entire life fascinated with one thing. Paul was fascinated with this in all of his writings. Paul was convinced, if I could distill all of Paul's teachings into like a couple of sentences, listen to me. This is what Paul was saying. What happens to Jesus happens to us. In other words, following Jesus means we have been raised from the dead. Everything that Jesus experienced, everything that Jesus overcome, you can experience and you can overcome that. You have the same spirit working in you that raised him from the dead. So what does that mean? The old is gone. I don't have to lay in bed tormented by my thoughts last night. I have a wife who prays for me. I have an advocate in Jesus. He knows how important today is. All we have to do is ask. And something simple like going to bed. Listen, that can make or break you some days. Getting sleep is a big deal. The old is gone, the new has come. Listen to this. Resurrection is more than just a past memory of John chapter 20. And it's more than just a future hope of Revelation chapter 20. Resurrection is how we live every day. Listen, we are resurrection people. Would you stand with me this morning? Let me pray over you. That wasn't horrible, so I appreciate that. Thanks for giving me grace today. But I want to pray over you. I want you to take a minute. We're early. I mean, it's only 3 minutes till one. Restaurants are empty, and you're going to be great. You're going to walk right into an empty restaurant in 30 minutes. But I want you to do just an evaluation of your life right now. Where is it in your life that you need resurrection power? You know who I woke up praying for this morning? Prodigals. I was a prodigal. I was raised in a good home. My dad loved me. My mom loved me. I was raised in church. Drifted off. Became a rebellious, snotty-nosed kid. I am the kid in Luke 15. I am the prodigal son. And one day I came to my senses and I turned and I started walking back toward the house, thinking that dad would be mad at me, only to discover that Jesus was waiting on me. And I know some of you are sitting here, your parents drug you in here, you're taking one for the team, you're wanting to make mom happy, so you're in church, gritting your teeth, waiting for me to be quiet. But I just felt for this service more than the other two, actually, that the Holy Spirit's nudging you and drawing you. There's something awakened in you today. Singing these songs, hearing these prayers, listening to these stories. And you know, every salvation story starts the same way. You can't work your way toward Jesus. I can't do enough good things to warrant salvation. I've been too bad. I can't be that good. So all I have to do is believe. And I think there's some of you in the room, maybe watching online even, that you're ready to take that step. Pastor Brady, I don't know all the answers to the questions. I have some questions. I have some doubts. I have some concerns. I don't like what I see in the church sometimes. Well, I agree with all that. But your first step is today, and that is I believe that Jesus knows me, that Jesus loves me, and that Jesus has gone to extravagant lengths to forgive me. Can you believe that? That Jesus knows you, Jesus loves you, and Jesus has gone to extravagant measures to get your attention, to draw you to himself. Maybe that's the first step you could take today. So if that's you, just say, I believe that Jesus knows me, that Jesus loves me, that Jesus has already made up his mind to forgive me. For that, I can say, I believe. And I just want to pray over you today. Moms and dads, would you just pray with me? All of you in the room, would you just pray with me that resurrection life would break in all over the room right now? Father in heaven, we thank you today that you're here with us, that you're for us and not against us, that you love us and you've not rejected us. So Lord, we believe that. I say yes to that. I'm asking today for marriages to be healed in this room. I'm asking today for prodigals to start turning away from a life of darkness and start walking back toward the Father's house. I pray today that you would surprise us with healings. Break us free from addictions that are killing us. Lord, I pray today we would find that you are for us, you're in front of us and behind us, above us and below us. Lord, today you are a faithful cornerstone on which we can build our lives. And for that, we are very grateful. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you took that next step, you come next Sunday and let us baptize you. Let us give you a Bible. Let us help you take the next step in your walk. You should have gotten your communion elements when you walked in. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. I'll give you one. Our ushers are walking down the aisles right now. We're going to sing this song together. We're going to worship our way out of here. And in just a few minutes, Pastor Daniel is going to come up and he's going to lead us to the table of the Lord. Let's worship together.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. Thank you.
Before we receive communion, I haven't done this in any of the other services, but I just know that we need to do this. Some of you have had an incredibly tough year. And it's a day like today. Maybe you're a solo parent for the first year on your own on Easter. Some of you have just buried loved ones. Some of you are in the time of your life and you wonder, you're on the brink. So what I want us to do is right now, just where you are, you don't even have to know the person. I want you to just begin to turn to the people around you and say, you're gonna make it. Like, encourage each other right now. You're gonna make it. Some of you need to hug each other right now. Some of you need to just touch base, love one another. Receive the strength of the body of Christ. You're gonna make it, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it, you're gonna make it. Why are you gonna make it? Because Jesus, his resurrection power. And so would you grab your communion elements right now? On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and they weren't sure they were gonna make it. And he said, this is my body. And it's broken for you. And as often as you do this, you remember. You remember that I'm for you. You remember me. You remember that you're gonna make it. So friends, today, receive the broken body of Jesus and know that you're gonna make it. What about all the foolishness of the past? What about the stupidity? What about the sin? What about the moment where we threw it all away? Jesus said, you're gonna make it. This cup is the new covenant and it's given in my blood and it's given for the remission of all of your sins. And as often as you do this for the remembrance of me. Friends, today, if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Can you say amen? Drink up to your forgiveness today, church. Now let's worship our way out of here. Before we go, come on. Church, can you open your hands to receive the blessing today before you race out to Golden Corral? It's been a while since I've been there. Let's go. Who's buying? Hey, receive the blessing today. The resurrection power of Jesus is with you and in you and for you. And so I send you out of here today and I say, may the Lord our God bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his bright smiling countenance upon you and all of your people, and may he grant you his shalom today, peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all God's people said. Can we give God thanks for all he's done here today? Couple things, Pastor, the prayer team is coming forward. If you have any prayer needs, we would love to agree with you in prayer. Second, baptisms next week. You will not wanna miss this weekend coming, so just put it on your calendar. And if you wanna get signed up, you can do that online. Go from here today in God's grace and peace. Much love.